I believe it was last week, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. Paul is instructing Timothy in this particular verse that he was to be faithful and obedient to the word of God as he lived out his life and ministry. Looking again at verse 14, that you keep the commandment, and that means the word of God, without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So between the time that Timothy lived and the time that Christ was to come back, as long as Timothy lived, he was to keep the word of God. As believers, you and I are likewise instructed as we take this verse and we apply it to our own lives. We are to uphold, we are to obey, and we are to be faithful to the Bible in our time and the circumstances in which we now live. We are to keep on keeping on in this attitude and this behavior of holding forth the word of God and following it until Jesus Christ returns or until we pass away, whichever may come first. We are to obey the Bible. One day, the world as we know it will be changed, and it will be changed forever. It will be changed in a significant and a dramatic way. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ as he is, and we will hear one of two statements as we stand before him. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me, for I never knew you. In the meantime, we are to, as Christians, occupy until he comes. We are to make disciples of all the nations. We are to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, once again. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. It says, there will come a day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you are a born-again Christian, you will bow in joy and in happiness. But if you're not a born-again Christian, then you'll still bow, but you'll bow before him as you enter into a Christless eternity. Hymn 104, we read these words, and I promise not to sing them to you. O worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. We will worship the King of Kings. We will worship the Lord of Lords in the day that we see him face to face. And we are to worship today, in the here and now, as we live out our lives for him, eagerly awaiting and anticipating the return of our King. Let me ask you something. Do the difficulties that you see on the world scene and on some of the things happening in our own country cause you to think more and more about the second coming of Christ? It should not cause us to despair. Yes, there is legitimate concern for things that could happen and how they might affect us, okay? If people lose their jobs, there's legitimate concern about that, and people need to do what they need to do to try to find work if they lose work. If we're attacked by somebody as a country, there is obviously legitimate concern about that. If there are things going on in society that are affecting our families and the church and the people around us, obviously we need to be concerned about that. But behind all of that and underneath all of that is a recognition that this has all been predicted, that this is all supposed to happen, and that we are living in probably one of the most exciting times in human history. And in our lifetime, we may yet see Jesus Christ face to face, not because of death, but because of the rapture and his return. I'd like us to look up a couple verses. Actually, before we do that, let me say this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 to 16, the verse that we're looking at, we do find ourselves asking the question in response to this passage, who is this King whom we worship, this Christ? What is he like? And this morning, as we think about this, we're going to look at five specific characteristics. Now we can look up some verses. What are some of these characteristics? First of all, to remember that he is the coming king. It says, which he will bring about at the proper time. You know, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, going into verse 15, which he will bring about at the proper time. There will be a proper time when Jesus Christ returns. And so we look at him and we think about him and we realize that he is the coming king. He's coming again. And so let's look up some verses. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 would be the first one. So turn there if you would, please. Verses 7 to 11. Actually, let me start off with verse 6. That would be a little better. Verse 6, Acts 1. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? These were his disciples. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. In other words, he's coming back in the same way in which he went up. And the point is what? The point is he is coming back. We don't know exactly when. I mean, we look at the world around us and say sooner would be better than later. But he's got a time that's already fixed, that's already known about by the Trinity, as to when this is going to occur, and that's not been shared with us. We don't need to know when that is. We just need to be sure that we're ready. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. One of my favorite verses. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So again, another verse, another passage that describes the second coming of Christ. Now go to Revelation 19. And that's going to be verses 11 to 16. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. And I saw heaven open, verse 11, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we obviously know that's who. That's Jesus Christ. Now go with me to Matthew. Matthew 24. See, we're going to look up verses all day? No, just a few more. It'll be okay. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 31. Matthew 24, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So what's the point of all this? Okay, reading all these verses. The point is, while there may be some disagreements, and there are, among sincere Christians regarding the details of the second coming of Christ and everything that's wrapped up in that, we all agree on one thing, amen? That Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does come back, it's going to be better, right? The Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron. In other words, people aren't going to step out of line during the millennial kingdom when Christ rules. No matter what is happening in the world today, no matter how bad things seem to be getting, and they are getting bad, may we remember these two facts. Number one, God is in control. Amen? God is in control. We have to believe that. We have to trust that. Nothing happens that he did not ordain or that he did not allow. It's going to be okay. Number two, Jesus is coming again. And it's going to be all right when he does so. But the thing we got to think about is, are we ready? Are we ready to stand before him today? What would we hear if we did so? Would he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would he say, depart from me because